We're continuing our study in Heidelberg, and this Lord's Day question has to do with Jesus, the Son of God, why he is called Jesus, and then is Jesus alone sufficient for salvation? So the Son of God is named Jesus, and Matthew 1 tells us this because he will save his people from their sins. And the answer then goes on and says that, and no salvation is to be either sought or found in any other. All right, so Jesus has that name that's given to him because he will save his people from their sins. So if you are a sinner seeking salvation, you cannot find that salvation in any other person but Jesus Christ. Then the next question says, in a very convoluted way, do such then believe in the only Savior Jesus who seek their salvation or welfare of saints of themselves or anywhere else? So if I could kind of clean that up, is can anyone seek salvation in themselves or anyone else? And the way that the question is worded, that's in addition to Jesus as well. So can you have a kind of trust in Jesus, but also try to find any kind of satisfaction in your own works? And the answer is no. And the summary of this answer is either Jesus is a complete Savior or he is no Savior at all. That particular answer is a summary statement of the book of Colossians. And that's why I want our meditation this evening to be from the book of Colossians. And let me then, before we read, kind of give a context of what Colossians is about. Colossae was, in many ways, an insignificant city in Paul's day, and it is encouraging to us that there would be a letter to an insignificant city and a people who, as far as culturally, would not have been viewed as the it city. But God had his people there, and they were there because of the ministry of Epaphras, who was converted under Paul's ministry, probably at Ephesus. Paul never went to Colossae, but he writes them a letter. He hears a report of the believers there, and he hears this report that there are some in Colossae, in the church there, who are trying to encourage other Christians that Jesus is great for trusting in for salvation, but in order to progress in your Christian life, in order to be really mature, in order to be really spiritual, you've got to add in some other things. And so Paul is responding to this, reminding them that Jesus is a complete Savior. Jesus is a whole Savior. And you either embrace the whole Christ or you're not embracing Christ at all. If you are thinking that you are embracing Christ, but then you're adding to him, that's no Christ at all. There's something unique about the person and work of Jesus Christ that to add something to him actually detracts. And that is not just for, if I could say, getting saved, but it is for being saved and living the Christian life. And so what Paul is going to do in the book of Colossians is show the supremacy of Jesus Christ over all things. Chapter 1, he's going to highlight the supremacy of Jesus Christ over creation. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all things. He is the creator. All things that are made are through him. He is the sustainer of all creation, and he is the goal of all creation. And then he is supreme over the new creation, that is the church, that's you. And he is supreme over you because he has died a death that appeased the Father, and then he was raised in victory over sin, Satan, and death, right? And so he is supreme then over that. And then Paul will say remarkable things about the person of Christ, that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's verse 19 of chapter 1. And so now we're going to come to chapter 2, and this is what we're going to read, and then we'll make some observations. All right, so again, keeping in mind the context of Colossians, here's what Paul then says. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, that is Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no avail in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. So what I want to do just briefly tonight is show from Colossians this wonderful truth that, one, there is no salvation found in anyone other than Jesus Christ, and then that salvation in Jesus Christ is sufficient for all of the Christian life, and Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, as good Protestants, standing in the tradition of the Reformation, we hold to our solas, we hold to all of these. But what we want to make sure we do is not merely hold to them in word only, but also in deed. And that is even what the Catechism says. It says, although there are some that make their boast of him, Jesus, yet in act they deny the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, there were those in Colossae who were saying a lot of great things about Jesus, but then by their actions, they're denying him. And then they're trying to get other Christians to, by their actions, deny the all-sufficiency of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so what Paul's doing, the antidote to adding anything to Jesus Christ by way of even maybe good intentions, but anything detracts from Jesus Christ. We want to be a people who make our boast in the Lord Jesus. We want to be a people who have all of our understanding of who we are in the gospel and how we live then in light of the gospel be connected to Jesus Christ. And so you have here in Colossae, there were those who had this philosophy, and philosophy in Paul's day, probably it's going to take on a broader meaning than today. If you go off to college and say, you know, I'm going to major in philosophy, this just has to do with just a school of thought, right? And Paul then tells us what this school of thought was by giving us three prepositions. And so we have here that it is a philosophy that is according to human tradition. It's according to the elemental spirits, and there's probably a dozen interpretations of what elemental spirits are, but it's not biblical. So we'll just call it that. Maybe on another day we can walk through that. And then it's not according to Christ. And so what Paul's doing, he's driving them back to Jesus Christ. If he is who he says he is, then everything we think about salvation flows from him. And so, to show us that there is no salvation to be sought or found in any other, and to remind us that we are receiving a whole Christ, the book of Colossians gives to us, at least for tonight, 13.6 ramifications for embracing Jesus Christ. There was about 20, but I thought that that would be overwhelming, so we're going to limit it to 13.6, and I'm just going to fly by these things. Please do not look alarmed at all. We're going to end while it is still this Lord's Day, and here we go. Taking as our foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the flesh, who is supreme over creation and over redemption, you have these benefits in your life. Because Jesus is supreme, you can know God. It is not Jesus plus performing some kind of form of asceticism, right? He addresses it in chapter 2. It's not Jesus plus something that looks really wonderful, as though that plus part gets you to God. Paul is even going to say, look, there are all these forms of asceticism. They may have an appearance of wisdom. They may make other people look at you and say, wow, you're really spiritual. You must know God. Paul says, bunk them. You know God through Jesus Christ in him alone. So, there's no salvation found in anyone apart from Jesus Christ, and only him, and in him you know God. 2, because Jesus is supreme, you are delivered from thinking you must hold things together. Jesus is the one who created this world, and he sustains this world. So on your Monday through Saturday, when you're overwhelmed and you think you don't have anything in control, fine, because you don't. Jesus does. And there's something about the supremacy of Jesus that liberates you from thinking you have to be in control of certain things. That's Colossians 1. Again, when you get Christ, you get the whole Christ. And that's what we want. 3, because Jesus is supreme, you are delivered from thinking this world is about you. There was that song, "You're So Vain." You probably think this song is about you. Well, there's something about narcissism that is antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's something about Jesus that liberates us from that kind of narcissism. This world isn't about you. There are going to be things that happen, and you think, oh man, that really hurts. Well, they probably weren't even thinking about you. There's an author, David Foster Wallace, not by any stretch of the imagination a Christian, but he made this statement in one of his novels that you will probably stop worrying about what other people think about you when you realize how seldom they do. And there's something that's really true about that. But in the gospel, we don't even have to worry. Because what matters? What truly matters in this life? What God thinks. In union with Jesus Christ, you are accepted fully by God. Why then do we often deny that in our actions? Again, this is what Paul is saying. Like, again, you have Christians here who are being distracted. And Paul in Colossians 1 says, wait, hold on. God the Father has qualified you to be inheritors of the kingdom. Chapter 2, therefore, let no one disqualify you by what? By not having the same diet as them? By not having the same kind of asceticism? Come on. There's something about Jesus Christ that liberates you from thinking that this world is about you. 4, because Jesus is supreme, you are reconciled to God by faith and not by works. Again, this is one of the most foundational, fundamental truths that we have as Christians. But you know how hard it is to fully embrace this functionally day by day? Look, we're on what? We are on January 6th. How many, don't raise your hand. How many people have not already done everything they resolved to do about their McShane Bible reading plan? Right? And so you wake up the next day and like, you know what? I missed yesterday. Today, I'm going to do 8 chapters because then God will be pleased with me. But then by March, how many days are you behind? And you're like, well, now I'm going to make up, you know, my 42. I'm going to get through Genesis and Exodus and Matthew and Mark, and then I'll be okay. And now you're flying through God's word. What's better to read it and get it, or mark off those days? But we all have those thoughts. Well, if I do this, then God will, he'll restore his love for me. Look, in Christ, you have been reconciled to the Father by Christ's work, not yours. You receive that by faith. That's liberating, right? God cannot love you more. And he's not going to unlove you. I think it's Patty, one of your, when you pray, God does not unadopt us. God doesn't, he loves you, and he doesn't cast you by the wayside, right? Why? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of what he's done. It's because of who he is. It's because of the work that he has presented before his Father on your behalf, and you receive that by faith, resting, relying on him. 5, because Jesus is supreme, you are qualified by the Father to inherit all things. Therefore, let no one disqualify you by their requirements. Again, that's all of chapter 2. Look, here's the reality. Jesus has canceled the record of debt by nailing it to his cross. When the debt's paid, you don't pay it again. You can't. The debt's paid. You have other people sometimes say, well, if you just do this, you just do that, then God will be like, come on. Again, this is the gospel. This is Jesus Christ. And the Father, when God the Father qualifies you for something, what creature could disqualify you? Now we're back at the previous Lord's days of who is God our Father? The mighty, powerful, all-wise, immutable God who does his work of redemption. You can't You can't undo something that God does. And so we rejoice and we celebrate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. 6, because Jesus is supreme, you are not identified by those things that Christ has conquered. Again, chapter 1 and chapter 2 are going to list all of these things that Jesus Christ has paid for. He has paid for all of your sins. You were once identified in that way. You were identified as a fallen child of wrath. God's wrath was upon you. You're born in trespasses and sins. But when you're redeemed, Jesus Christ has paid for all those things. So now what is your identity? You're a new creature. You're in Christ. Right? You're not that. You're no longer that. You may wrestle with that, but that's coming up. But your identity. So how do you think even of yourself? So those who embrace a whole Christ even understand themselves completely different. I'm no longer that. Who are you? I'm a Christian. What are you identified with? I'm identified with Jesus. That's who you are. 7, because Jesus is supreme, you are delivered from people-pleasing. People-pleasing, I think, is that one great burden that we all will have until the day we die. Period. And it manifests itself no more powerfully than in a place like this. We all want the affirmation of one another. But remember the verse that Pastor Brian mentioned in passing this morning in his message. Who can lay any charge to God's elect? It's Christ that died. It's God that justifies. Now, that's in the context of the world making accusations. But I think if we're honest, we know that even within these walls, we can kind of want to please people. We want to maybe do something in order to get in with someone, or we want to not maybe do something or say something because we don't know what they think. I mean, it's high school all over again. And no one wants to go back to high school. Now, if you're not in high school yet and you're going, it's fantastic. It is fantastic. Children, you'll love it. But if you could just remember now in middle school and beyond, in Jesus Christ, you don't have to please people. There you go. And I don't want to shatter any young person's dreams. Even when you're 42, you're still going to struggle with it. Maybe I shouldn't have included this. Maybe it should have been 12.6 instead of 13. But in the gospel, in union with Jesus Christ, being identified with him, we are delivered from people-pleasing. What we should be most desirous of is pleasing God and his word. And sometimes, even obeying God's word may upset someone else in these four walls. And what are we committed to? Are we committed to God's word? Are we committed to proclaiming God's word? Are we committed to saying, you know what? That's sin and that's wrong. That's God's word, right? Or if someone says, oh, I can't believe you're doing that, here's God's word, right? So it's liberating in Christ. Because Jesus is supreme, you are freed from worldly wisdom that presents rituals, days, or diets before you as means by which you can be more spiritual. Nothing in the modern contemporary culture reminds us of the value of Colossians more than walking into a Christian bookstore where you see little knickknacks, little religious artifacts, self-help stuff. If you do that, you know, 7 keys to this, 12 principles to that, and it's all just the flavor of the month. When Colossians is saying, you have everything in Jesus Christ. 9, because Jesus is supreme, you are a member of a family that cannot be broken. This is one of the beauties of the church. When we get to the Lord's days on the church, we'll talk about the great blessings and benefits of the church. And many folks in the church come from biological broken families, but here is a family that cannot be broken. We worship together. We interact with one another. We're going to have our ups and downs together in this life, but we're going into eternity together because all those that are united to Christ will be raised just like he was raised. He's the first fruits. 10, because Jesus is supreme, you have died in him and are raised with him and can therefore set your affection on things above this world. Colossians 3, since you are then raised with him, set your affections on things above. We are a people that in union with Christ are not bound by all this stuff. We're there with him. And what we're going to see later in chapter 3 and on is that actually to be more heavenly minded is of greatest earthly good. But that is where we are, and that's where our affections are to be. 11, because Jesus is supreme, you are equipped with everything necessary to fight sin and worldliness. This is the negative side of sanctification. Again, this corresponds well with Pastor Brian's message takeaways this morning. So in chapter 3, because you are raised, set your affections up there. Therefore, in union with Christ, being complete in him, you now therefore can mortify. What do we mortify? Well, a whole bunch of things. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things that we may think, oh man, I can't get victory over that. Well, in Christ, you have everything to equip you in Christ to fight sin and worldliness. And then the positive side of this, number 12, is because Jesus is supreme, you're equipped with everything necessary to live holy lives, to put on. We don't clean ourselves up on the outside to get to Jesus. We trust in Jesus. He changes us from the inside out, right? And so now holiness is not something, right, that is, oh, legalistic or this, that. Holiness is about being like Jesus. Holiness is something that is attractive. Sin is something that is nasty. Right? We wrestle with it. We fight it. We battle it every day. And some days we're going to wake up and say, I've got nothing in me to battle this anymore. And Paul's saying, the gospel, in the same way that you received Christ, so walk in him. It's not receive Christ and now just do these checklists. No, you fight it, you wage war on it, because Christ is a whole Christ, and when you receive him, you receive all of him. And he gives you everything for not just your justification, but also for your sanctification. And then finally, 13, because Jesus is supreme, you can reflect his supremacy in all your earthly relationships below. Because Jesus is supreme above, you can reflect his supremacy in all of your earthly relationships below. Chapter 3, and here's our point 6. Wives toward husbands, husband towards wives, children towards parents, parents toward children, employees toward employers, and employers toward employees. Now, do you see the gospel affects and addresses every relationship that we have? All right, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, do not provoke your children so that they're discouraged. So you've got a responsibility. And then how you work. You work as unto the Lord. If you're an employer, you treat your subordinates, reminding yourself that you have someone above you. All right, so the gospel transforms everything. And so this is what the catechism is trying to get us to say. You seek salvation in none other than Jesus. And in the entire Christian life, you do not just have this false relationship with him. You have a relationship that embraces him in all aspects of your life because Jesus is truly a great Savior. And there's no one else under heaven by which we can be redeemed. And so whatever our struggles are, whatever our issues are, we can find the solution by seeing who Jesus is and our identity in him. And so we pray that that shapes us. Let's pray.